I like to think of myself as an ardent lover of the parks, but no one knows the parks better than my friend Julia Bachrach. Julia, how are you?
Oh, that's so nice.
Oh, no,
I'm good. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm good. Are you in a car still? Julia was willing to come on, even if she was in a car or her husband had to drop her off on the side of the road. So, are you home?
Yeah, I got home a half an hour ago.
Good.
And I walked the dog, so hopefully she won't be noisy.
It's fine. I love dogs on the show. I love dogs on the show. Joy, do you live in the city?
Yes, I live in Edgewater.
And, oh, nice.
Of course I live in the city. I'm a city girl.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. When did you, we've known each other for a long time. I'm a huge admirer of City in a Garden, which is one of the great books ever written about this time. When did you first fall in love with parks?
I thought you were going to ask me when I stopped working as the historian for the Chicago Park District. So
I will. We got a half hour. I can ask you a lot of questions.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I've always loved parks. But, you know, I came at this from an interesting path.
Mm-hmm.
I had my bachelor's degree in a historic preservation program.
Sure.
And so, you know, way back then, there weren't, you know, very many undergraduate programs. Still really aren't. It's usually, you know, graduate level programs. And so when I finished my bachelor's degree and I decided I wanted to go to graduate school, and I started looking at graduate programs, I was afraid. I had been so specialized as an undergrad, I was afraid that it would be kind of very similar. And so I found that there was a preservation program in the landscape architecture department at the University of Wisconsin in Madison.
Which is not a bad place to go to school. I love Madison.
It was fantastic. But, you know, that's what really kind of opened my eyes up to historic landscapes and designed landscapes. And, you know, I had done my undergrad in New England, and I learned a little bit about Olmsted, but that was it. And so, you know, I started becoming very interested in Jens Jensen.
Sure.
You know, there were a lot of connections between my program in Madison and Jensen. And I grew up in Evanston, so I knew that, you know, that there were some to Harley Clark, and, you know, there were some great Jensen landscapes in Evanston. It kind of started that way, and then I ended up having a 29-year career at Chicago Park.
I know. Yeah. I know. You're up there with, like, you know, one of the dailies spending 20 years or more as mayor. Yeah,
exactly.
Working for the park.
Well, it was nice that they hired me when I was 10 years old. So.
do you feel now freedom not being tied, seriously, not being tied to the park district? You're doing so many things, and I love the title.
So much fun.
You're a consulting historian and preservationist. That is such a great title.
Yeah, I mean, this is every I think, you know, that many municipal professionals, I think if you would talk to them, everybody's dream is, you know, that you'll put in your time, and then you'll become a consultant.
Sure.
And it's sort of like, but how do you do that?
Yeah, I know. No, believe me, I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea.
I was just lucky because my timing was really, really good. So I ended up leaving the Park District in 2017, and there were a couple of big projects that were not really Chicago Park District, but they were kind of related to the parks, like, you know, the study of all the historic resources along Lakeshore Drive,
which is
a requirement for the federal funds that would be tied to any improvement. So they needed to get all this, you know, all this like research and reports written as other people were out doing the engineering and the designing and trying to figure out solutions. You know, I had a team of historians and we were documenting all of the buildings, and the landscapes, of course, had already been listed on the National Register. So it was really looking at just some of the greatest architecture, you know, in the state, if not the country, you know, all along Marine Drive and Lakeshore Drive, beautiful luxury apartments and all of that. Really fun.
Do you think, I'm very curious about you sent something to the Tribune about something you're doing later this week, and we'll get to that in a moment.
Yes, yes.
But you know, this is a town. This is a town justifiably nutty for architects. This is a town where some architects have reached the level of, in some quarters, of being as famous as Michael Jordan or as mayor Mayor Daley. And it occurs to me. I mean, you and I certainly know other. Is there a stigma attached to landscape architects because they
Interesting thought. That's
what do you think? Well, I'm asking the person who could give me a definitive answer to that. I was toying with that for the last few days. Thinking why
I've also just been thinking. I'm working on my presentation for this conference.
Sure.
That we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
And the person that we're going to talk about, Alfred Caldwell, who really got his training. You know, he really was more of a landscape architect than an architect, but he was really both.
Yes.
And the fact that you said that, I was sort of thinking about the fact that that I'll be the only one that will be talking about a park where it's the architecture and the landscape with
right.
all one design.
Right.
You know, in terms of a stigma, I think, you know, honestly,
yeah.
you know, architects themselves can be, you know, we all know that they can kind of feel like they're, you know, you know, have had more training than a landscape architect. But sometimes I feel like you work when you get to work, and I'm working on historic landscape, so it's different, you know.
Sure,
and so
sure.
I think when it's somebody who is so talented and there's just such a deep respect for that, at least now. I don't know at the time if, you know, I'm not really sure. I don't think there was a very deep level of respect.
No, I don't either. And I often thought, Julia Bacharach, too, that in Caldwell's case, because I knew a lot of people who knew him. I didn't know him well.
Yeah.
He died in 19.
I knew him a little bit. Yeah.
But that he was a, I don't know if cantankerous is the right word, but he was cantankerous.
He was very much. Like, especially by the time we would have known him. I met him first in 1987.
Uh-huh.
And he passed away in 1998.
Right.
So he lived from 1903 to 1998. So he's, you know, well into his 90s. And he was teaching at IIT that whole time. I mean, he taught at a couple of other universities. But at the end, he was back here in Chicago. And he did some consulting, and, you know, when Walter Netsch was
sure.
on the board of the Chicago Park District, he wanted Alfred Caldwell involved. And so he, you know, used his own money, Walter, to hire Alfred to come and speak to all the people in the planning and, you know, the architects and planners and landscape architects at the Chicago Park District,
yeah.
and then have him do a plan for Promontory Point, which, of course, he had designed the park.
I know.
And so then he comes back in 1989, and he was unhappy with certain things that had been done in the 30s, and so he got the chance to kind of, you know, make it more of what he had wanted.
Right, right.
So, you know, I mean, I think he always... I'm getting ahead of myself, but the thing that's been really interesting about this project that I'm working on in Iowa is that there's a lot of archival information. There's a wonderful book on Alfred Caldwell, and there's a wonderful interview that the Art Institute did, you know, and it's a book-length interview. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of material, and this is his first major project in Dubuque, you know.
Yeah,
and
sure.
But there were discrepancies. When you start reading very carefully, just looking for information on this particular park, which
yeah.
is called Eagle Point Park, yes, it's right on the top of a bluff overlooking the Mississippi River in Dubuque. It is gorgeous.
I know. Thank you so much for sending Julia Bacharach the photos. I know they don't do it quite the full justice and the full impact, but it is unbelievably, unbelievably beautiful. You know, you can find, and I'm sure you have, you can find certain people in Chicago who will argue that Caldwell's greatest gift to Chicago is Promontory Point or the now Caldwell Lily Pool. But I got to tell you,
right.
this Eagle Point place is stunning.
Well, it's so fascinating, Rick, because we all, I mean, I think so many people, you know, we love clearly there's lots of people who love Promontory Point because there's a whole movement afoot.
Oh, gosh, sure, of course, of course.
And then the Lily Pool has been closed for renovation.
I know.
Everybody's just dying. It's supposed to be done.
Yeah, it says it's supposed to open in June, and June is running out. Julie, we got to take...
I know. I think I saw the latest, and I didn't email to check on this, but I've been looking on the Lincoln Park Conservancy website.
And me too.
I think it's July 11th. I think they actually finally put a date.
And I'll
so
hopefully,
I think we're really getting close.
I'll hopefully put that in a story because I just adore her so much, and she's so bright and articulate. Julia Bacharach, I'll use some.
Thank
I'm
you.
Serious. You know I feel that way. And I use – and we both love – we are both so love Chicago and some places in Chicago, you know, I suppose people think, oh, Promontory Point just built itself. And we love Alfred Caldwell as hard as he probably was to love. Julia, you're going out to Dubuque to talk for 2 days for what's being called the Prairie School Legacy in Iowa Symposium. Does it surprise people to learn that there is a Prairie School Legacy out there, particularly Caldwell and Wright?
I think people who know Wright and Louis Sullivan know that there are a lot of great Prairie School buildings in Iowa. They're kind of spread out, You can come to Chicago, and in one day, you can't see everything, but you can see an awful lot. But, many of the really great Prairie School buildings in Iowa are very spread out. Many of them are in Mason City. And so Dubuque, it's a wonderful, wonderful little town, right?
Yeah.
On the other side of the Mississippi. It's not far from Galena.
Nope.
It's easy to get to. And so what had happened was there's a really strong preservation group organization called Heritage Works in Dubuque, and they have been working on restoring this gorgeous park, which has three pavilions has a water. They're all designed by Alfred Caldwell between 1935 and 36. The stone was quarried. There was a stone quarry at the base of the park. In fact, the park commissioners kind of owned the land, and they worked out a deal for this private quarry to supply the stone. So there's three just gorgeous Prairie School pavilions. People who have never heard of Caldwell would think they are Frank Lloyd Wright buildings.
Yeah,
he didn't mind that. He liked that.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, he worked close. Yeah. He was kind of if not mentored by Wright and Van der Rohe. He was certainly influenced by them, if not.
Oh yes.
And they obviously
formed a friendship. And he had worked for Jens Jensen for 5.5 years. Jensen, of course, we think of as sort of the Frank Lloyd Wright of landscape.
No kidding. Yeah.
So, it was the Depression, and Jensen couldn't keep him any longer. Jensen did all these beautiful, huge estates on the North Shore.
Sure.
And all these super wealthy people, when the stock market was crashing and people were losing their fortunes, they weren't going to worry about having fancy landscapes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And so he had to let Caldwell go, and he was just a young married guy, with a child and really struggling financially. And so what had happened was he was... in 1933, he was doing some consulting work for the South Park. He was actually working on the Japanese Garden. It was just the moment when the South Park District, all the separate park districts were about to consolidate into the Chicago Park District. So they couldn't really give him a real job yet. It was just sort of a little freelance thing, and he was struggling. He did spend a little time up with Wright for a couple of weeks, but Wright had that whole reputation.
Oh yeah,
he was already married to his last wife, but Caldwell's wife is like, I'm not going up there with you.
Yeah, so he won't leave me alone. Yeah, you won't leave me alone.
I think that probably wouldn't have been the case, but there was it was scandalous across the country. So a respectful wife with a baby did not want to go to.
It must have been though, and you may be able to address this. It must have been more than just a financial relief. It seems to me, from all the reading I've done about Caldwell, that he really did not like cities much. He really he found them kind of.
It was a love hate. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Interestingly, So what happens is somebody high up at the, you know, the people that were really high up, George mm-hmm. Donahue, who was the head of the Park District, he was the head of the South Park District and then became the head of the Chicago Park District, knew that he was that Caldwell was incredibly talented. And so they had gotten a call from people in Dubuque. They were getting federal funds. You know, that was before the WPA. Briefly, there was something called the CWA. Huh. And they were told that if we're going to give you this grant in Dubuque, you have to get an experienced park superintendent. So, wow. Of course, you know, they call Chicago because it's just a, you know, relatively small town in Iowa.
It's a big city, yeah. Find, right.
And they had to find someone fast, you know, because...
Oh, that's fascinating. Fascinating.
Yeah, because the federal relief funds would come in and they'd have to get spent really quickly. So he is now getting sort of the opportunity of his lifetime, you know, because
yeah.
he's a 31-year-old guy and he's, like, really in financial straits, you know. And so he takes his family and they move to Dubuque, and they have to give him kind of a small salary, and they just have this initial $160,000 for the whole
park. Thing.
I have no idea how much that would be.
Sure.
His salary was $1,800, and apparently they were apologizing.
Yeah,
so,
I bet.
And so that was the initial money that would kind of get things going, and he was, you know, as you know, these jobs during the WPA, it was all about getting people to work. And so he was
right.
training these untrained guys to build all this
God,
stuff.
How fascinating, though.
It's gorgeous. Like, anyone who loves the lily pool, I mean, there is a water feature like the lily pool.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
Like there's a whole number of council rings. There's, you know, it's like kind of water trickling. And then these three buildings.
Now, Julia, will you and others be sort of giving, I know you're making some, having conversations about all of this, but will you also be leading tours of the?
Yes. It's going to, and wow. There's still a few slots open for anyone who is, you know, real architecture, landscape enthusiast. You know, it's real easy to find the website. It's the Prairie School Legacy in Iowa. And it'll start on Friday afternoon, and there's a great speaker, Paul Crudy,
mm-hmm.
who was an architectural historian who was at the University of Illinois.
No,
his whole career has been about Wright and Sullivan and all these Prairie School architects. So he's going to kind of put all of this in context. And then I'm going to speak about the Eagle Point, and then there's also going to be some focus on another site in Iowa, and it's called Cedar Rock, and it's a Frank Lloyd Wright Usonian house from the 40s.
It sounds like, I swear to God, you make it sound like the perfect weekend vacation in the Midwest. I'm not kidding. You really do.
It's so,
you really do.
Again, you know, for those of us who are geeky about this stuff, it's heaven.
Yeah.
I have a few friends who kind of raise their eyebrows going, really? But, you know, there are a whole bunch of us, you know.
Yes, there are, and I love them all. I love them all. You're going to have to come on. You're going to have to come on the show one day and talk about. I'm fascinated now. One of my latest fascinations is Edith Farnsworth, and I know you know about Edith Farnsworth.
I did some work on that. I did some work studying that landscape as well.
I know.
And there's a little tiny tie-in with Alfred Caldwell. But yes, that would be for another day. But at any rate, this park,
thank you.
If you thank love the you. Alfred Caldwell Lily Pool, if you can make it to the conference, please come. And if you can't, you should still go to Dubuque. You've got to see this park.
Yes, yes.
Yes,
if you can't go next weekend, you can go anytime. It's nice out.
Yes.
Go to Heritage Works Dubuque, and you'll find all the information.